Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
All right, welcome to the program. It is 9:09. I'm Andy. Adam Snow is in the house with me. Hi, Adam. How you doing, man?
Andy, always a pleasure to be here.
I got to tell you, Adam, you guys, you and Gil and Victor, you take a lot of abuse in social media. There's a lot of people out there saying mean things. And I said this a long time ago. I'm a man who I will trust someone until they burn me. You guys have never burned me, so I trust you. And when I see stuff written about you that's just really nasty and mean, I know you guys have mostly learned to just let it roll off your back, right? But it kind of ticks me off a little bit. These people writing this stuff, I'm like, that's not, they're talking about my friends here. They're talking about guys I know and trust. And I don't know how you guys do it.
You know, and this is going to sound like a political answer, but I 100% believe this. Completely. You know, people that get really angry and they come and they yell, and we recently had a meeting. There was a lot of people there that were angry over some things. I think most of the time it's very misplaced anger It's anger that I share towards, you know, the direction of the country or something broader. But it's hard to go yell at the president, right?
Right. Yeah, and they won't let you.
It doesn't really happen, right? Yeah. He's got the Secret Service around him. It's hard to go yell at the governor. It's hard to yell at the legislature. It's hard to yell at U.S. Congress. They don't really have a meeting where you can come and yell at them.
So you get it.
We have a public meeting, a public comment before every one of our meetings.
Yeah.
And so they get to yell at somebody. So when they come and yell that we want you to be angry, well, I am angry about all those things too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to scream to be effective. I want to be effective, right? I don't care so much about just being angry. I want to be angry with a purpose to not have to be angry anymore. And so, yeah, people do come. They say some nasty things about us, and so my wife won't follow social media, and my kids don't try and pay attention to things that people call their dad. But I understand where a lot of it's coming from. I just don't know that when you say, why are you angry at me, though?
Yeah.
Well, we're losing our country. Well, you're not losing it because of me, and I'm doing everything I can, but you can't expect that one county commissioner is going to stop the direction of the country. I can only do my part, right? And we all have a role to play in that.
And what do you say to people, though, that are angry at you specifically, that call you named? I mean, I've heard you called, you know, dishonest and crooked and evil. And I've heard you all kinds of things on social media. And I'm like, these people that are throwing these things out there, I'm like, do you even know this? Have you ever even talked to them? I think probably the answer is no. They probably have never actually spoken with you.
No. And I do find this, and some people are going to get this. I may have shared this once on your show before a couple years ago, but when I was first elected, I just hit 3 years in office. When I was first elected, it took me 24 hours to be called a gaddy, aunt, and robber. Now, in my church, in my religion, that means something. Now, other people, that would be like a really big insult if you don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Just corrupt, cabal.
The worst,
you know, mafia kind of level here. 24 hours. I had been sworn in the day before. We took one vote. It was my first vote of anything. I mean, I've been a commissioner like minutes.
Yeah.
And they didn't like it. And so, follow the money. Well, you know what? I thought being a gaddy, aunt, robber would be much more lucrative than it is.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, oh, he's in the pocket of the developers. No, I'm not. I wish I had more money than I do. But it's just not true. And so you're right. People do say some nasty things. I think it's easy and it's intellectually lazy to just throw out some of the stuff that they say on social media.
I like that. Intellectually lazy. Yeah. I agree with it.
They don't have to come up with an argument. They can just call you names.
Yeah.
Or they can look at some little hint of smoke maybe, and therefore there's a fire, right? And you say, well, yes, where there's smoke, there's fire. But can we try and find the fire and not just say, hey, I think I smell some smoke maybe somewhere, or I did once? That's we've got to get a little bit further than that. And I honestly, Andy, I think part of it is my parents taught me as a little kid, believe nothing of what you hear and only half of what you see.
Hmm.
We have lost that skepticism in America. Now I only want confirmation bias all the time. I believe something, so I'm not going to be.
I'm going to find something that'll confirm it.
Exactly. Yeah. I will confirm it. And if you provide me any information that I don't believe, that disagrees with what I already believe, I'm going to discount that as just propaganda.
Yeah.
But if you show me something that it doesn't even have to be from an expert source or anything reliable, it can just confirm what I already believe, I will believe that like it came from the Lord himself.
That's right.
But anything else is just propaganda. And we have lost that critical nature completely. I don't know why, but people now just want to believe whatever they agree with, and they don't want to listen to reason or that there's possibility of some other facts. Now, that is a group. One-on-one, face-to-face, most people are very good, honest, willing to listen. But put them in a group or you put them online and they lose their brain cells.
Yeah, it's true. My mother-in-law, and she's passed away. She's been gone a couple of decades now. But she was sadly one of those that would believe everything she read online. And it was frustrating as the son-in-law, and you know how the whole in-law thing works. But she would come to me critical of one thing or another with my parenting style or whatever. And I'd be like, you know, what are you talking about? And she said, well, I read. And I knew at that point, I was in trouble because she read something and it wasn't necessarily a credible source, but she read it. And so I must be doing it wrong because what she read said so.
Yeah. So I encourage anybody, if you have a question, come talk to us, come make an appointment. Half the county has my cell number, right? Like I will explain anything. I just left a group that we met this morning at 8 and I talked to a bunch of business leaders about non-business things and elections and water and roads. And those kind of conversations are really informative. And if you actually want to be informed, there is a lot of numerous places to get information. If you just want to argue, well, you can do that too, but you'll be less effective.
Yeah, a troll. I talked to Celeste Malloy about this, our congresswoman, and about a post that I saw last week that said, regardless of what we do, how many reservoirs we build, whatever, that Washington County is going to be out of water in 5 years. We will not have enough to sustain the population. That's growth that's going to happen in 5 years. And I thought, that seems like basically they're saying that Zach Renstrom and the commissioners and everybody, they're not doing their job if they would let that happen. That doesn't make sense to me. And so I thought, well, let's see what Adam has to say about that.
It's wrong.
It's wrong.
I'll answer it really quickly. That's not true.
Yeah.
We have a 20-year plan. We are working very hard on that plan. Now, again, when we talk about what we just said, some people just kind of being intellectually lazy or not thinking it all the way through.
Yeah.
We showed a video on water and kind of gave a summary, a report back to the county last commission meeting. So it was 2 weeks ago. And some people who were in the meeting knocked on that video and on that report. And they said, oh, my goodness, they're just now thinking about water? No, we've been thinking about water for a long time.
Yeah.
That's responsible, sustainable growth is what we work every single day on this. You just heard the report back for this year, right? But that wasn't the first time we thought about this. So no, we have a 20-year plan. We're working very hard on it. We have wonderful people at the Water Conservancy District. We work very closely with the mayors and city councils at all of our municipalities. We work with irrigation companies and the agricultural community. We try and become more efficient, more effective use of water all the time. And we're treating and conserving. We're in the planning or construction phases of 6 different reservoirs around the county, new, in addition to those that we already have. We'll have almost 20 reservoirs trying to store every drop of water that we have. We'll be okay. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't take this seriously. Everybody needs to do their part. If you have lazy grass, as we call it, get off your lazy grass.
Yeah.
Decorative only. The only time you ever step on it is to mow it. There's better things we could put that would be prettier and nicer and still cool the ground and not create a heat island. And there's lots of things that we can do, and the Water Conservancy District is really good at that and trying to show you. That's why we have the Desert Gardens off the Red Cliffs Parkway up there, is to show you, hey, this is what your yard can look like. It can be lush and beautiful and low water consumption. Okay. But if you have a yard that you play on and your kids play sports and everything, great. We're not saying get rid of all the grass in the world.
Right.
But, we're working on it. Everybody's got to do their part if they want to have a thriving, growing community. But we're not going to be out of water in 5 years.
So one of the things that that strikes me, and so if you believe the social media, you believe even the legacy media, they call them, the world has changed, and there's a lot more of the extremists out there than we think there is. But every time I go on, like I just had a vacation, I was lucky enough to go over to Europe.
Nice.
A few years ago, we went on a carnival cruise down to Mexico, and Then last year I went to Alaska on a cruise. And every time I go out in a public setting like that and I'm around people from around the country and around the world, I find out that actually still most of the world, most of the people are normal people. They have families. They just want to be have peace and be happy and raise their families and do what is right. And so, and then I get back and there's all the headlines are screaming at me about all this extremism and everything. And I'm like, it's not real to me, Adam. And that's one of the things that I think is frustrating to me. And I know you guys have to deal with it when you're dealing with the public. You get all these people with these extreme ideas and they want, some of them want special permissions for their lifestyle or their views or their whatever. But I think that the world, and especially Washington County, it's full of a lot of really good, decent people who just want a peaceful, good life.
I completely agree. There are, and obviously I'm biased. My family settled Washington County. We've been here for a long time, right? I love this place that I call home. But we have some of the greatest people in the world. Just absolute salt of the earth, and I wouldn't want to call any other place home. I have had to live other places, grad school, and I served my mission in Europe, and so I've been other places, and I've had loved those experiences. But Dixie is home, and is home to the greatest people.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that we don't have some people again who buy into just that, you know, everything is against you. Everything is all a big conspiracy. Everything is all organized to create an outcome that you didn't get to have any role in. And I can tell you that at least in this county, that's just not true. And I'm happy. We show everything. We're very transparent. You want to come look at anything. You want to see some process of how government works. You want to talk to employees and figure out how we do what we do to try and serve the public based on the law that the legislature has mandated. You know, that's what we do, is we execute state laws, right?
Yeah.
And so we are happy to do any of that. So that people have a more understanding and more faith that, okay, maybe some of the bad things that do happen elsewhere in the world, they aren't happening in my community.
Yeah, nice. Where did you, by the way, where did you serve your mission?
Paris, France.
Paris, okay. We were in France, but just barely the edge next to Germany. We were in Strasbourg.
Strasbourg, beautiful place.
Beautiful place, yeah. And we got to go see, I think it's called, pronounced Recquier or something like that. That little town that looks like, basically the town Beauty and the Beast is based off of. Little cobblestone town.
Gorgeous. Cool. Oh, I'm jealous.
Yeah. Cool stuff. I was happy to go. But like I said, I found out that the French and the Germans and the Swiss and the Netherlanders or Dutch, they all want what we want. They want a peaceful life where they, if they work hard, they can get ahead and raise their families and not have too much weird, strange things happen.
Yeah,
that's what we all want.
And I think, yeah, most people want a good living, right? A decent living to provide for my family. They want space. They want safety, right? They want a good education for their children.
Yeah.
They want good health. I mean, these are basic tenets of life, right?
Yeah. I did, by the way, get to go to the Lindor Chocolate Factory, the Lindt Chocolate Factory in Zurich, Switzerland.
Also something everybody wants in life. They want chocolate.
Wow. I was going to say, yeah, there's a certain segment of the tour. You go in one room and they have these three big giant fountains with liquid, like white, dark, and milk chocolate. And you can put a spoon under there and get whatever, how much you want. The next room, you put your hand under these little things and it drops chocolate pieces, different flavored chocolate pieces on you. And then the next room, they have these big vats of those Lindor chocolate balls, you know, I don't know what they're called.
But, yeah.
And, My wife actually, I couldn't believe it. She was sick of chocolate by the time we left the place. I wasn't.
That is a high quality problem to have so much chocolate that you're sick of chocolate. I had an early morning meeting this morning and I'm still pretty hungry, so I don't know. Yeah.
I got a protein bar over here.
It's not Lindt, though.
No, it's not. It's not even close. All right, you guys got a commission meeting today at 11, yeah?
No, it's 4 o'clock.
Oh, it's the afternoon one, right?
4 o'clock, yep.
4 o'clock. What are going to be some of the big topics in the meeting today, do you think?
You know, we've got some land use things that we've got going on. We've got some contracts. So the county commission meeting, just everybody knows, is the business meeting of the county.
Right.
And so it's where we pass, I don't think we have any ordinances on today, but we have some resolutions that we'll pass. We'll we appropriate money that has already been budgeted, but if it's over a certain threshold, if it's over $10,000, then we have to approve those expenditures in a public meeting so that everybody knows where we're spending, you know, large quantities of money. Mm-hmm. So even if it's $10,001, that's going to come across us. So vehicles for the sheriff's office, large food orders to feed the inmates at the jail, things like that. That's what we handle in a commission meeting. And we'll have more of those things on today. It's a little bit of a shorter agenda. That varies based on things that people have brought to us. And then we have some presentations as well that come on. And I think we have the Children's Justice Center has their VOCA, or the Victims of Crime Act, which is a funding source, a federal funding source that helps us provide services to children that have been either a victim of a crime or witnessed.
Christy Pike over there.
Yep, yeah, Christy. So I believe today on the agenda, she's coming in to make her annual presentation. It's required by law to give an update on the grants that they receive and how they serve the community. And that's, while we hear about the loud things that happen occasionally, whether it's elections or water or something, we also, most of the time, we're doing services that the general public luckily doesn't know about or doesn't see on a daily basis, because if you were at the Children's Justice Center, something bad has happened.
Yeah.
Very unfortunate.
Yeah.
And those people do phenomenal work.
They do.
And so it's them coming, that's just one of the agenda items. You come to report back to the public how they serve our families and our children who've been victims of some horrible things.
We had last week Steve Dunham on with the Washington County School District, and he said they are working closely now with the Washington County Sheriff's Office on the Guardian program. And I don't know if you have any insight into the Guardian program, but a lot of people were pretty interested and fired up about this, the fact that we are going to have at least two armed, maybe school personnel, but can't be a teacher or administrator, in every single school in Washington County. The law starts in August of next year, but mm-hmm. I know Washington County in the sheriff's office with Kilpak, I think is his name, Sergeant Kilpak, is working hard to make sure not only that we meet state law, the requirements, but we're above and beyond that.
Yeah. So I do know some about it. So the bill was run, it was headed by a friend of mine whose name is Ryan Wilcox,
mm-hmm.
Who sits on the state school security task force and is really passionate about this issue. And honestly, are there detractors? And is the law perfect yet? I think there's probably going to be some tweaks in the upcoming session.
Sure.
And there was maybe some unfunded mandates and some things that came out. And Ryan was pretty open. Like, look, everybody's going to have to play a role in funding this. It's not cheap to house, to secure schools, to physically, secure the doors and the windows and the walls and everything behind around our students, but also the personnel, like you just talked about. And so the state is going to have to play a role. The counties and the cities are going to have to play a role. The school districts are going to have to play a role. And all of us are going to have to come up with some of the funding and contribute into that.
Yeah.
But honestly, every time when we have one of these tragedies in a school, and it is only a matter of time before it will happen here, right?
Right.
Is that we take the most vulnerable people in our entire society, young children, group them together, and then leave them unattended.
Yeah.
That, especially in elementary schools, right?
Yeah.
That is a tragedy waiting to happen, because and we've seen it just far too many times now. So I'm supportive of the program. Again, I think there's some tweaks that can happen, but we have to be able to protect our kids and throw them into a school so that they can learn and not be worried that something's going to happen to them while they're just trying to get an education.
So, Adam, I wrote a story about the Guardian program after having Steve on the show and posted it on our website. I also posted it on St. George Word of Mouth, which is a very popular local website, local Facebook page. And I expected there to be 60% positive, 40% negative about the Guardian program. 99, I think there was one negative, and 99.5% of all the other comments were like, yes, do it. It's about time. In fact, there were quite a few people that said, I'll volunteer. I'll do it right now. I would love to help protect the children. So I think we've struck a nerve here. I think a lot of people are like, and by the way, there were, I think, hundreds of comments. I know there were hundreds of likes and reactions to it. But people agree with us that we can't leave them vulnerable and protected.
Yeah, and it's actually not that hard to do. It's kind of expensive, but it's not that hard to do, to have locks, sally ports, armed personnel. We can do this. This is not something that's so difficult. And that's what Ryan was trying to accomplish in the bill, and that's what the legislature passed last year.
And where's Ryan from? What?
He's from Ogden, Weber County.
Okay, Ryan Wilcox.
Yep.
Name sounds familiar. I knew a Ryan Wilcox, but I don't think it's the same guy. This guy was, he'd be about 40 now. Is Ryan about 40? Maybe that's the same guy. Interesting. Did he ever live down here?
Not that I know of.
Okay, all right. No problem. Guardian program. If you want to read more, go to 890kdxu.com. And you're certainly welcome to go to these county commission meetings and during the open comment period to ask about it. And I think it's a program that is, a lot of people said the comment was, it's about time. And I agree. I think it's about time we make sure the kids are protected.
Yeah. Before we have public comment before every one of our meetings. So, come at 3:30 and
love it.
We'd love to hear from you.
All right, Adam, I'm gonna turn on Ethan's mic now for just a minute, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the Teton Wealth Group. We'll give Adam a chance to get a drink of water, maybe go out and, light up a – he doesn't smoke, so maybe light up a firework or something. By the way, I'll talk to Adam about this in a minute. There was a guy who when he died, he was cremated and had his ashes packed in fireworks, and then for his memorial, he set off the fireworks with his ashes inside the fireworks.
Oh, that's cool.
I thought that's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
I want to do that. I had my sister, longtime husband, died, and he was a big barbecuing guy. And for his memorial, she had everybody bring their favorite ribs. Recipe, bring their favorite ribs to the memorial for him.
That's cool.
Yeah. Ethan Millard is here with the Teton Wealth Group to talk about retirement a little bit.
Yeah. Now,
we're getting to, a lot of us to the point where we're getting really close to retirement. And we're thinking, all right, man, I got a lot of things to worry about. I got to worry about, how much money I'm going to be bringing in, social security hits. And I got to worry about taxes. I got to worry about health. There's so many things to worry about, Ethan. I'm hoping you guys over there at Teton have some answers for me.
Well, yeah, we do, because we've got, there are actually five things you really need to be worried about for your retirement years. This is how you stay retired. This is how you have that joyful and prosperous retirement that's full of purpose. You've got to have a handle on your plan for your income.
Okay.
So you can pay your bills. Your income plan's got to be able to grow with inflation and last the rest of your life. You got to have a plan for your investments to make sure you're not taking on extra risk. You got to have a plan for your taxes to keep your taxes as low as possible, right? You've got to have a plan for your health care so that's affordable and that future health care costs you can be confident are going to be covered and be able to be paid for. And the fifth is your larger estate plan. Those five things are what go into an ascent plan at Teton Wealth Group. So if you're missing any of those, or like most families we see, if you're missing all of them, then let's do an ascent plan for you. Our team here at Teton Wealth Group, right here in St. George, will do an ascent plan for you. 435-255-6331. That's 435-255-6331. I've been saying this all morning. We're going to do five for the five of you that will call in. And, I'll tell you the number one mistake that we see people make is they get obsessed over that portfolio. Right? What's the portfolio doing? Yeah. It's good to have a strong portfolio for your retirement, but that's only 20% of a retirement plan. You're still missing those other elements, and you deserve to have a complete plan, don't you? So 435-255-6331, and as part of the Ascent Plan, we'll throw in a copy of our new book, How to Retire Without a Financial Advisor. We just want you to know that this is possible, and it can be possible for you, too. So 435-255-6331.
I got to go in and meet with your guys, sit around the conference table. They had the plan up on a big screen for my wife and I to look at as they went over things. And I was just really impressed. You guys do it upright. And they told me that I could, technically, now I don't want to scare any listeners, but I could retire at the end of next year based on the plan they put together. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I could.
Well, it's nice to be able to kind of dangle that out there for your own mental health, right, Andy? To know that there's an exit.
Raise. I'll tell him, I'm sorry, I'm leaving. He's like, well, how about more money?
You want us to give you some documentation for leverage internally here, I can help you with that, Andy. Awesome. No problem.
It's the Teton Wealth Group. Again, five Ascent plans, giving them away, plus the free book, How to Retire Without a Financial Advisor. The phone number, again, is 435-255-6331. 255-6331. Ethan, looking forward to learning more and giving out those Ascent plans, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, right?
Yep, I'll be here tomorrow. Thanks.
Very good.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust.
This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
I'm Andy. This is the Andy Griffin Show. He's Adam. Adam Snow is his name. You're like, Snow? Wait a minute. Isn't like Erastus and all that? I mean, all these famous Snows in St. George. He's not related to all those guys, is he?
I am. Yeah, Erastus is my third great-grandfather. Yeah.
He is one of those Snows. Yeah. Snow Canyon, right?
Snow Canyon is named after him. Yep.
Very, very cool. So when you go to Snow Canyon, do you walk around and go, yeah, this is my park?
You know, so a good friend of mine, a former coworker, was the head of the Department of Natural Resources who oversees state parks here in Utah. Mm-hmm. And I told him one day, I said, Brian, you know, it's Snow Canyon. My grandfather's not around anymore, but as his descendant, clearly I think there should be like a statue of me at the entrance of the park. Similar to like Walt Disney at Disneyland, right? Sure. You know, to all who come to this happy place, welcome, right? And as I said that, I thought it may be an animatronic, you know, somewhat of a robotic statue in red rock, you know, so it blend in, but still have me welcoming. Never got done.
Didn't.
And I wasn't a commissioner then. Maybe I could get it done, but he's not in that role anymore. So I could talk to Joel Ferry. I mentioned it to him. It didn't go with him either. So I don't have a lot of hope that that dream is ever going to happen, but I think it should.
Okay, there's a couple of things that bug me. When they say Zion National Park or Zions, when it's just Zion National Park, and people tend to say Snows Park.
Okay, you're wrong on the second one. Snows is because of possessive, that it's the Snows
apostrophe S.
Park,
okay.
Right? All like right. that it's ours that we let other people come to. That's 100% correct. Yes, and it is my park.
It's okay.
But Zion.
I thought I saw a sign that just said Snow Canyon or something.
Well, maybe technically on the sign it's Snow Canyon, but Snows Canyon is, you know, possessive to the Snow family.
Yeah.
Zion. I just hosted a bunch of congressional staffers that were trying to get some educate them to the issues that we have here in Washington County, and mm-hmm. we hosted them last week, and the very first thing we do when we get on the bus is I teach them how to say Zion like a lion.
Yes,
not Zion. And they all come from Connecticut and the East Coast and stuff, and they, well, I can't wait till we get to go see Zion, and it's like a cheese grater in my brain.
Mm-hmm,
to,
mm-hmm.
So Zion like a lion.
Fingernails on the chalkboard.
Oh yeah.
And what happened, I think we were starting to get people to come over to saying it right, and then a young NBA basketball player made it big, and his name is Zion, and he pronounces it Zion. And so I think it set us back a couple of decades now.
I think so.
Yeah. So, but yeah. We'll get him.
We will.
Adam, which high school did you go to?
So I actually went to high school in Arizona.
Okay.
I would have gone to Dixie where I've been living. Okay. So.
Yeah.
And my kids will be Dixie.
Week one of the football for our Region 9 teams was not good. Every single Region 9 team lost.
Yeah.
And some of them, including Dixie, got blown out.
Yeah. So. But, you know, the silver lining is when you're at the bottom of the hill, you can only go up from there, right?
Those are wise words from our county commissioner.
So I help coach my son, who's not in high school. He's too young for that. But I help coach his football team in mm-hmm. the evenings. And so I'm getting more. I love sports. I played football. I love anybody throwing around a ball or kicking it. I will watch them do that. But I'm getting – it's a new kind of fandom now, being a coach.
Yeah.
I find myself much more involved and and engaged in this, and I'm pretty sure that there are NFL scouts for these 11 and 12 year old boys.
Packers were there.
That's how I'm feeling. Like, you know, get in there, hit them, you know. And then I realized that they're 11 and 12. Maybe.
I did that too. Coached my boys on up through the different programs. Because I've been a sports commentator here for 30 years, I put a tremendous amount of pressure on myself to succeed. And maybe to exacerbate the problem, the very first year I coached, I had this stud kid on my team. His name was Devin. And we scored 25 touchdowns that year, first year in flag football. He scored 24 of them. And we went undefeated. And so at that point, I'm like, all right, I'm a sports commentator and I'm a good coach. And then the next year when we went 1-10 or whatever it was, there was some comeuppance there. But yeah, I put tremendous pressure on myself to be successful. But it turns out I just like every other volunteer coach, I just did the best I could.
And yeah.
If you have a couple of studs on your team, you're probably going to do really well. And if you don't, you're probably not going to do that well.
Yeah. Well, we got a Christmas gift the last day of practice last week. A kid moved in who is just, I don't know that I could move him. I don't know that you and I together could move him around. I mean, he is just a beast of a boy. and I'm looking forward to seeing how he protects our quarterback. Nice. And good luck to the other teams.
Yeah, and moving that kid.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
A move in that won't move. I like that.
So yeah, like a granite mountain.
Adam, of course, the county commission, and some of the hot button issues, of course, water. We talked about but roads too. Are there some things with roads that we need to be aware of?
Yeah, some kind of exciting for those of us that are involved in this every day. But we've talked a lot about the Northern Corridor.
Yes, we have.
And so we don't need to get probably back into that. Your listeners, I don't want them to turn off the radio going, yeah, I got
it. Put a bookmark in it and let's move on.
We've heard Northern Corridor. But we did file a lawsuit against the federal government last week. And so, or 2 weeks ago, actually, now. So,
is this a different lawsuit than the St. George City? Or the same lawsuit? Or is it a county thing only? Or I don't...
It's led by the county.
Okay.
Yeah, so this one's a county lawsuit on the Northern Corridor because... and I don't want to get too deep into the weeds, but basically the biological opinion from the Fish and Wildlife Service, it talked about the tortoise that they voluntarily revoked back in or changed back in earlier this year, still holds us to all of the conservation measures and the requirements of the deal that we had put together in 2019. But without the benefit of the road. So you have to keep, county, you have to keep up your end of the deal, and
we don't have,
we
to,
don't
keep
have
our
to keep
end.
Up ours.
That doesn't make
and
sense.
That's the easiest way to explain it. And so we sued on a few procedural things that they weren't allowed to open that biological opinion without taking some steps that they didn't take, and that we're no longer held to our end of the bargain here if you're not going to follow your end.
Imagine
so there will likely be other suits after November, maybe. Wow. We'll see if maybe some of those are going to be necessary or not. But we've got a long and growing list of grievances against the federal government on this exact issue that we'll be filing.
You know what people want? Most people, not all, but most people are like, can you tell me that we're just going to build the road? Can that happen? And unfortunately, you can't say that yet.
I would love to, but and we had that deal worked out. But again, this was all walked back under this administration, and to appease some fringe environmental groups that sued on it, and they have friends in the administration, so it was a friendly suit for them, and this is where we're at. But in the meantime, we'll continue to pollute the air and cause traffic failure on the Boulevard and on Red Hills Parkway and at I-15 and the Boulevard. And we'll continue to have, difficulties because the federal government won't let us build the road that we all agreed to and that Congress and President Obama signed into law in 2009.
Wow.
So, that's about the pace. This is still lightning fast for the federal government. 2009 to 2024,
Like 15 years.
15 years. This is quick for them.
Let me just set this up then. If Donald Trump wins the election in November, will the road be built?
I would say that the likelihood is much, much higher.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we go from a maybe, 40% chance to a 90% chance maybe.
Yeah. We did our homework, right? The Bureau of Land Management did their homework. The State Department of Natural Resources did their homework. The Fish and Wildlife Service did their homework. We did the plan that was put together. The environmental impact statement was rock solid. They looked at everything. This being pulled back is for political reasons only. There is no detriment. Trading 154 acres of disturbed land for the road for 7,000 acres of permanently protected.
Seems like a no-brainer.
I've got little kids in elementary school. They can tell that that's a good deal for the tortoise, right? And so anybody who's saying otherwise is just being dishonest or doesn't actually care about the tortoise, or they're uninformed.
I was going to say, or they're intellectually lazy, as you said earlier in the show.
You're going to use that from now on, aren't you?
I like that a lot, intellectually lazy. All right, what other roads, though, do we need to talk about?
We're always working. So most of the roads, obviously, are within municipalities. But we look at improving certain roads that might just be chip sealed, need a heavier, we're looking at possibly doing that up to to COLOB to help our agricultural community as they take, you know, loads of heavy cattle and stuff up to graze for their summer range, but the road may not have dried out from winter snows yet, and so underneath the road is still wet and has that freeze-thaw cycle and you know, damages that. So sometimes it's not necessarily putting in new roads as it is improving existing roads so that they last longer and it's more effective use of our taxpayer dollars. Sheeps Bridge Road is probably the next new road that will be paved. We're out to bid right now on the first phase of that, and that's a road to help with Zion National Park and the economic driver that is, to get tour buses and oversized vehicles around the park so they don't have to shut down the tunnel. And so the Park Service will likely be implementing restrictions in the coming years on oversized vehicles through those tunnels. And so we're paving the road to get those vehicles around so they can still come and enjoy the park and still have that tourism benefit to our economy, but aren't going to congest the park.
Yeah.
And so but they need a quick way around. So Sheeps Bridge and then eventually Big Plains or Smithsonian Butte, that whatever you want to call that road, will probably also be paved. But you know, it turns out that paving is really expensive. The equipment is expensive. The materials are expensive. Even an existing dirt road that you're going to put asphalt over the top of is expensive. And so it takes some time to plan and save up the funds to be able to put those in.
All right, let's bring Richard on. Richard is on line one, wants to talk about roads a little bit. Richard, what's up?
What's on?
Yeah, anyway, go ahead.
Let me turn off my dumb radio. Okay, you're talking about redoing the COLOB road. Now, you guys had a fire up there, or we all had a fire up there, what, 3-4 weeks ago? And kind of got a warning that the glamping campground up there, is that a really a big go thing?
Is the road a go?
No, the camping or campground up there. I thought that was just a thought, and now it sounds like it's gone ahead, has it?
Well, there's multiple campgrounds up the COLOB Terrace Road, and on private land, there's glamping and camping up there, and then there's obviously the camping. There's primitive camping at various places up on COLOB Mountain, and then there's camping around COLOB Reservoir, and then there's obviously a lot of private land that people have cabins up on COLOB. I may not know exactly which camping you're talking about.
Well, a couple of years ago, you came on and said up there in Hop Valley and stuff, they're developing that to a big, huge private campground area. Oh.
Yep. Okay. So I know which one you're talking about. No, that's not right now. That has not been rezoned and approved yet. And I don't know where the landowners are on that campground.
All right. Because I was just wondering if our tax dollars are paying to get a nice road up to them.
No, that's not the point.
Change the subject to the first one. With the water issue, you guys sold us a bill of goods about 4 or 5 years ago. We were going to die, dry up, and blow away if we didn't have the Lake Powell pipeline. Is that anywhere on the radar, or is that totally dead now, hopefully?
No, it's not totally dead. If we, at the end of this 20-year plan, we will have reused and re-implemented a plan to reuse every drop of water that we have in the county right now. After that, there's no more drops of water to continue to reuse. So for new growth, we would need another source of water wherever that may come. And the Lake Powell Pipeline, which is Utah water that we're pulling from unused or from shares in the Green River and out of Flaming Gorge, from just below Flaming Gorge, and using it in Utah by routing it down the river into Lake Powell and then piping out of Lake Powell to come here. It's cheaper and easier than trying to pipe it all the way through the center of the state, through all of our mountains down to Washington County. That is still a possibility, but the more immediate and urgent concern for us is to reuse and conserve and be more efficient with the water that we have in the county right now.
So are we still charging an impact fee money, putting a savings account for someday if that ever happens? Because I understand it's going to be a couple $1 billion if it ever goes.
The money being used right now is for the construction, design, and construction of reservoirs and for the piping infrastructure in in Washington County for, you know, double piped homes for irrigation water that you don't have to use culinary water for. It's for the infrastructure to put in the system right now with the water that we have right now to treat and store it.
Last question, what is the Ash Creek Reservoir looking like? Is that coming along?
Yeah, if you anybody who wants to drive up I-15, you look over right before you get to Anderson Junction, you look to your right, to the east there, and you'll see there's a lot of dirt moved. You can see where the dam is going in right now. That's being built. And again, that's just the next step in many, many phases of trying to conserve and reuse every drop of water we have.
And that is the Chief Toker Reservoir.
Yes.
That's what's going to be the name of it. And Jack Renstrom has said many times that you have that Ash Creek, or that Ash Creek Reservoir was really just a lake that was empty half the time, and we were losing that water downstream. And so the Chief Toker Reservoir is there in an effort to capture some of that water.
Exactly, yep. So,
all right, let's go to Jeff on line two. Jeff, how are you doing today? What's up?
Hey, Andy. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Good. And Commissioner Snow, you know me. Jeff Mathis.
Yes.
So I just was curious about that northern corridor. I was listening to you guys' conversation. And so was the land swap that happened down in Bloomington that shut off so many of those roads? I've lived here since 1992 through high school. Was that part of that corridor thing in your lawsuit you're doing? Was that southern or, you know, Bloomington area where you shut everything off?
Yeah, so there's still lots of roads that are open in there, lots of trails that are protected. It's just that it would not be open for, so half of the area that you're talking about are what we call zone six, right? So all of the tortoise habitat in the county is kind of divided into zones, and there are a lot of tortoises that live just to the west of Bloomington, all the way up to south of, just south of Santa Clara. And so there's that's zone six for us. And so when I say zone six, that's the 7,000 acres there. Half of that is owned by the Bureau of Land Management. Half of that is owned by CITLA. And then as you, I mean, it's not exactly 50-50. There's a few other private landowners and the state and the county both have some land in there too. So, what we did was we set aside in CITLA, which is the School Institutional Trust Lands, or now it's called TLA, Trust Lands Administration, which is the lands that are set aside to make money for school kids, right, to fund and build schools. So half of that land they agreed to set into permanent reserve, which the BLM eventually would buy them out. But they agreed to set that into the reserve now, which would be kind of a land bank for those school kids for, you know, decades probably until that actually came out. So they'd still get the value eventually. So that would be the recreation would continue. The tortoises would continue. The trails, we've got the Zen Trail. It gets 100,000 cyclists a year on it. So all of those would continue to remain open. But CITLA would not develop it for into homes, businesses, you know, commercial developments that way. They agreed. So it was a multi-party agreement to it. That 7,000 acres of Zone 6 is the offset for the 154 acres of disturbed land that the road would take up.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah.
All right,
guys. Thank you, Jeff. I just wanted to ask that question. Thank you very much, guys.
Appreciate the call. We got to take a break. I got a 2-minute break. I got to get in before the top of the hour. I am going to right now, though, give away a couple of breakfast combos to Wendy's, any of the four Southern Utah Wendy's locations. I've got two of them, two free breakfast combos. You can get that, chicken and bacon sandwich, or you can get the potato wedges, sausage, egg, and cheese, whatever it is you want at Wendy's. Give me a call right now, 673-5890. That's 435 area code, 673-5890. Stockton will answer your call and take caller number three for our winner.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
We're back, 9:56 on KDXU. So only about 3 or 4 minutes left on the program with Adam Snow, Washington County Commissioner. Adam has already said way back when I first had him on the show, this is a temporary deal for him. He's going to get in, try to make a difference, and then get out. You're 3 years in now, Adam. How do you got 5 years left in you? 1 year, 3 years? What do you got left in you?
Yeah, it depends on the day.
Okay.
I am up right now for re-election just because, you know, if you ever have to get into politics or you choose to, running three times in 3 years is not the way you want to do it.
Nope.
So I had two different special elections and now I'm up to get back on the alternating cycle. I said when I first ran it would take me at least one full term to kind of get the ball down the field on things that I knew I could help on. So I'm now running for that one full term, and we'll have to see at the end of that. But
and that would be 4 years.
Yes, this is 4 year term. So we'll see after this. But up until now, I've just been filling the rest of the of Dean Cox's term.
You talk about an election, but I haven't heard. Are there other people running for the county commission?
Yeah,
there are.
Okay. Yeah, there will be a general election, and so. With the primary and everything, I tend not to want to run when I didn't have a primary challenger, so I didn't want to confuse people and say, well, I'm seeing his signs, but he's not on my ballot. Hey, my ballot must be wrong. Well,
yeah.
So I just...
So there was no primary. You are running it, though, as a Republican candidate?
I am, yes.
Okay. Perfect. Republicans don't lose in Washington County very often.
They could. You never want to take that for granted. But we are a very heavily Republican county.
Do you have any? We're down to 2 minutes. Do you have any gut reaction on the Democratic National Convention going on right now, and Kamala Harris saying she's going to price control and all this stuff?
I think it's good to get all the bad ideas out right away. Let's just get them out right away, because socialism has always worked so well every time it's been tried. Yeah. And I wasn't alive, but I've seen the videos and heard the reports of the fuel shortages and everything. Every time we've done price fixing, how has that worked out?
It hadn't been too good.
No,
it hasn't been too good. Yeah.
I'm a free market capitalist, so.
I got my driver's license in 1982. That was right at the end of the price fixing and the long lines and you could only get gas on certain days of the week. And that was a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, gas, of course, it wasn't as expensive then as it is now, but it did get, you know, when you were, you know, when I started driving, it was like 70 cents a gallon. And by the time all that happened, we're up at over $2, you know, we're like, something happened here. What's going on?
So, well, it works so well. Let's just do it with eggs, milk and bread, too.
Get ready for a $20 12-pack of eggs.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I think it's good to get all the bad ideas out of the way, and then let's move on to letting the adults talk.
Do you think, this is a loaded question with only a minute, do you think that somebody will come to Kamala Harris and say, you can't do that. It's gonna kill any chance of you ever being elected by throwing out some of these really terrible ideas?
I think they probably already have said that.
Okay.
And I think her team looks at it and says, politically, there's enough dumb people that will just hear, hey, you're going to save me money, and we'll go with that.
Intellectually lazy people, apparently. Yes. So, he's Adam Snow. Always a pleasure, Adam, to have
Thanks
you on
for
the
having me, Andy. I love it.
We'll be back tomorrow. Oh, we've got Chamber of Commerce on tomorrow. We're going to talk Guardians in the Schools with Dave Romer, firearms expert. And more on the Andy Griffin Show. Thanks for listening today.